Manuscript Releases, Volume 20, Numbers 1420 to 1500. M.R., Number 1459, Raising the Standard of Piety Higher, written June 18, 1906, from Sanitarium, California, to Olson and Kress. I am instructed to lift before our people the high standard to which we must attain. Many choose to follow their own unsanctified ideas and have lost sight of this standard. They walk and talk in a way that is detrimental to healthful piety. Spiritual life is maintained only by a daily life of obedience to all the commandments of God. The law of heaven, by which the whole universe is governed, must be brought into our everyday experiences in this world. Thus the believer evidences that he is receiving Christ and that he is a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So long as we are in this world of sin, we must engage in a constant spiritual warfare. I have been referred by the Lord to the first epistle of Peter. I must impress upon the churches in every place the importance of reading this scripture and of practicing, with watchfulness and prayer, the instruction given. Here, said my instructor, is a most precious representation of what Christians may be if they will only hear and obey. The language used is a warning to those who are lifting up their souls unto vanity. Let all listen and enter into the spirit of the words of counsel given. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1, verse 1 to 5. Read the whole chapter. Study it, fathers and mothers, with all your powers of intelligence, and let your words and your actions express its meaning. Then read the second chapter of 1 Peter, verses 1 to 12. Then turn to the second epistle of Peter, and read the first chapter. My brethren in the Lord, I am instructed to say that you must raise the standard of piety and truth and holiness higher, still higher. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Encourage the people to study their Bibles. Nearly all have the common version, and the words are so simple and plain that all who read may understand. Let the Scriptures be read freely in the family and in the pulpit. The men who wrote the books of the Bible were inspired of God, and the words of Holy Writ are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We are to preach Christ and Him crucified as the sinner's only hope. To ministers and people, I would say, give yourselves no rest until you find the truth as revealed in the past through holy men of old. Then obtain your life power from the one who came from heaven to John to show him the things that would be seen in these last days. As you consecrate yourselves to God, and with all the powers of the mind seek to understand the Word, you will unearth deeply hidden treasures, which will come forth as shining truths, clear as polished crystal. By no human devising can we, in our own strength, bring forth these treasures from God's great storehouse of truth. We must read and study and write in the light of heaven. There remain in our ranks a few faithful men and women who have passed through many experiences and have witnessed the fulfillment of many prophecies. But there are others who have not had so long an experience, and among these are some who are refusing the light God has given and are choosing their own way. Even men who have been standing in positions of trust have resorted to the arm of the law when a thus saith the Lord counterworked their scheming and underworking. Those who have placed their dependence on lawyers, on the counsels of unconsecrated men, have been unfaithful stewards. God has kept an accurate record of their actions in the record books of heaven, and every artful, unjust transaction will one day appear. The consequences of every wrong act will be fully revealed. Believers in Christ are, in this world, to bring into action the principles of heaven. Those who shall compose the members of the royal family, those who enter in through the gates into the city of God, will share in the inheritance that was promised Abraham and all his children. Into the heavenly courts will enter no taint of sin. Those who enter there will have obeyed the truth in this world, and will have brought into the life practice, while on this earth, the principles of heaven. Only such can be allowed to enter heaven, for only those who learn to live in accordance with the principles of heaven will have demonstrated that they would not, after entering heaven, introduce specious devisings that would create a second rebellion. Christ came to a world of sin in order to give every man an example of true, perfect obedience. In all his words and deeds, he is our example. The character of holiness to which we must attain, he has plainly revealed. The path of obedience is the only path to heaven, and, through his grace, we are enabled to follow in the footsteps of our divine Lord and walk in the straight and narrow way in which he walked. My dear brethren and sisters in Australia, wherever your lot may be cast, whether east or west, north or south, if you are the truly wise, you are the denominated people of the class specified as partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I address my brethren and sisters in the faith who are living in this solemn period of the world's history. We need to pray much. We need to watch unto prayer and to live our prayers by practicing the principles of God's Word. Let us seek the Lord with the whole heart and testify of His grace in the fervor of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is to be our guide, our proof by which we shall vindicate our faith in every time of need. Through the sacrifice of our gracious Redeemer, we have the privilege of claiming much, because we need much, and because in Christ all fullness dwells. We as a people need to be sanctified unto God daily. From day to day, from hour to hour, from moment to moment, we need to know the will of God concerning us. Constantly, we are to be on the watch over self. High responsibilities devolve upon every one who has covenanted to serve God and to fulfill all the obligations of this life. We are to cultivate the mind in a knowledge of spiritual things. The whole being, body, soul, spirit, is to be consecrated to God's service. As we do our part faithfully, shall not the judge of all the earth do right by us? We are to be laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Constantly, we are to work in harmony with God. In the Scriptures, we have the life of Christ before us, a living example in vital spiritual action. His ministry was marked with keenness of perception. He was always true. His life evidenced inward spirituality. In the name of the Lord God of Israel, I would say that those who are partakers of the divine nature will have spiritual life and light with which to bless others. He that heareth my word, saith Christ, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. It is not an inactive faith, but a living, working faith that enables us to be successful laborers together with God. My brethren, learn of the great teacher, Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Cultivate his meekness, his lowliness of heart, I beg of you. Labor with the simplicity of little children and with true loyalty of heart. As you do this, your daily experience will be of a character to make you trustful and brave, valiant soldiers. In association with one another, you will be as Christ's chosen ones. Your devotion to Christ will be manifest in daily proving him with his word. Constantly, you will be learning how to trust more fully in Christ as your strength. Elder Olson, Dr. Kress, and family, you have a large work to perform. May the Lord strengthen your faith. He will do this if you exercise your capabilities of mind in loving service. And to brother and sister Star, I would say, let your name be a representation of your spiritual life, a star of hope, bringing brightness into the lives of others. Talk faith, talk courage, and bring encouragement to the heart of Sister Olson. She can be a strength to her husband. He is oft put to much trial to know how to carry the work forward in straight lines. I would send you a word of warning regarding the Echo Office. Be careful not to burden the office unduly with commercial business. There is great danger of bringing in many worldly schemes that injure the sacred influence that should pervade the office. Will you not unite with the managers of the office in striving to keep the standard elevated and in making sure that the signs of the times is filled with important and timely matter for the people and that it is given a wide circulation? I would further say, move wisely and encourage Brother Falkhead to take a position in the Echo office. He has made a mistake, and he will feel the humility of this mistake. But let not one soul bar his way, for it could well be said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." Christ looks beneath the surface. If you were all to come together and confess your mistakes, it would be revealed that some have had feelings of exaltation and have desired the highest place. Others have felt free to express a lack of harmony with the plans of their associates and have felt like drawing apart. When all the workers in the Echo office are partakers of the divine nature, they will draw together in even lines. Then there will be more praying with humility of soul. Our brethren there will then seek the Lord, confessing their own sins and realizing their own defects of character. Thus great confusion could be avoided. When the workers in our institutions are obedient to the law of the Lord, there will go forth from every soul the love wherewith Christ hath loved us. What is the difficulty with many? A lack of sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let everyone talk the truth. Pray in faith. Lay hold on God's promises. Pray as His workmen. My ministering brethren, talk faith. Live the truth. We are bought with a price. We need to present the word of truth as the sin destroyer. Maintain simplicity. Talk the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Love as brethren. Be kind, pitiful, courteous. These words of instruction I have been commissioned to give to you, that you may give them to others. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., June 8, 1989. Entire letter.